You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly, folks. It's probably a little short one. Sorry about just the single episode last week. My wife got COVID, and I have transitioned into a new job. So things were tough on my end. So I apologize for that. But without further ado, Mason, how are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Just got back from the Riverview, so we're my clinical. So
I was gonna say, I don't know what that is. Great clarifying. Word. School semester's got to be wrapping up pretty soon too. Fucking about to be April.
Yeah, in the home stretch here, so time is definitely limited. I have my OSCEs soon, which are my nursing exams.
I thought that was just like the hip way to say the Oscars.
No, it's like I have like they're like clinical exams, so I have to like actually do.
Is it like where they put like a patient and it's like more or less like this person has these symptoms?
No, what
is
it? I deal with a real resident. I deal with actual issues that they have.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Fuck yeah, dude. Well, I worked my final event for Southern Eagle. I worked a professional bull riding league weekend, which was interesting. I don't know if y'all have professional bull riding in Canada.
Canada is like the haven of professional bull riding out west.
Okay. Well, there was a Canadian kid on the circuit.
Canada, I believe Canada has its own circuit, I think. Let me see.
Oh yeah. Well, I worked PBR, not the beer apparently. Interesting. Very interesting. The arena smells like shit. I'm sure it's going to smell like that for fucking weeks. But it ain't my fucking problem no more. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Canada does. Yeah. PBR Canada.
Yeah. They got a kid out of Calgary doing the circuit.
Calgary's the haven, bro. Calgary is the haven. Alberta.
Hell yeah.
Saskatchewan, Manitoba. That's where it's at. All those fucking Western cowboys.
That's fucking sick, dude. I mean, to an extent, I was really hoping to see someone gored, but
have you never heard of the Calgary Stampede?
I know about the Calgary Stampede. Honestly, it's pretty recent to me. I've learned about it in the past like 5-6 years, I think. But yeah, very cool. I felt bad for the animals, but one dude did get stepped on, and I thought that was awesome. So there's that.
Yeah, I've never personally, like,
I don't think I'm going to pay money to be like, dude, can't wait to watch this.
I think it's pretty cool. I honestly, like, growing up, like, around, like, farmers, like, mm-hmm. I don't feel the sympathy for the animals that other people do.
Sure.
To be honest, like, those, trust me, those bulls are living lavish. they're getting the finest feed. Like, they're worth a lot of money. They treat them pretty well.
Heard that.
But yeah, no, I do think it's pretty interesting. Like, not something I would, it's something I want to attend for sure. Like, the Calgary Stampede is something that
Sure, I'd go to the Calgary Stampede, but I don't think I'd pay to go just to the PBR at the arena. Yeah. You know, like, hey, it's a one and done. I didn't pay. I made money doing it, you know, so there's that. It was cool. Just not my cup of tea in that type of setting. Now, like you said, though, like, I'd go to Calgary Stampede, but just your everyday run of the mill, like, you know, stop 25 of 30 in the U.S. circuit. I think I'm all right. Anyway, three games since the last time we talked, Mason. We had an astounding winner from a come-from-behind win, if I'm not mistaken, against Pittsburgh. The insane Panthers game on Thursday night, and then the Saturday, pretty fun game against Tampa Bay, not a lot.
Yeah, I watched the game against Colorado. That was the last game I watched.
Okay.
That was just heart-wrenching.
Why?
Habs lost like five. What was it?
It was 8-4.
8-4, yeah. But they were down by like five when I
when I
turned it on. Got to see Lecky score two goals in his return. It was a shame he didn't get to stay in the game for the hat trick.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tribute they send, seeing him score that goal on Saint Jean Baptiste Day to send us to the cup final. We'll never get old ever. One of my favorite modern day Habs, even though I love Arturi Lehkonen. I think he'll always be appreciated. He didn't even really get booed, which is just so rare. Obviously there were some boos. It's a term of endearment in the Bell Center. You know what? If they don't boo you, they didn't know you.
Right. Sure.
So yeah, I loved seeing him come back, and I'm happy to see the success that he's gotten in Colorado.
No, absolutely. And it's like shit we had talked about the whole time that he was with us. It was like, you know, given the right opportunity when the team's flowing, he's going to make something of himself. Another thing during that game, another Denis Gurionov goal, which was on a power play. And if I'm not mistaken, another pretty shiesty goal by this man.
Shiesty goal?
Mm-hmm.
By who?
Gurionov.
Oh, yeah. Just continuing to put up the goals. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Making me sound not so stupid on at least one player.
No, he's been good. Like, he started off kind of slow, but he's been playing really well, obviously getting...
Well, I think that he just says how much he fights, you know, like, I think my favorite part about him is that if he's not the one starting the play, he's definitely, like, if it doesn't look like it's going to stay in our possession and the guys start backtracking, he's still staying in and trying to fight to the last second to see if we can grab something out of it. Like, I don't know how to make that sound amazing, but just his willingness not to give up on a possible dead play is just awesome.
Well, and he's one of those players that needs the minutes, right? And he needed the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think a fresh start, similar to a Jonathan Drouin, who I think desperately needs a fresh opportunity.
Right.
That's all he needed. And he seems to be rolling with it. Now, will he have those opportunities next year? I think next year, look, projecting the Habs, because that's all these final games are about, right? Is tanking for Bedard, which, mm-hmm. by the way, we've been doing great in that regard.
I think we're doing the best of anyone. And by that, I mean like losing with the right, like the right way. And it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, losing, I would argue we haven't recently against Florida and Colorado, to name a few examples. Like getting blown like out like that is just terrible.
But I mean, is it, I get what you're saying, but this is also a team that's known to like get blown out 9-1, you know, like low. That's what I'm saying. That's why, like, I feel like if anything, it's like, yes, we're losing. We're doing what the fans want, but the team's not giving up. Like, tell me these games aren't fun to watch. Like, they're not like, okay, we're getting our asses stomped and there's no offense. there's offense just about the entire game. You know, granted, the other team's fucking a lot more offense, but the Canadians are showing so much prowess and like show so much like just what to look forward to in the future. It's look, Mike Matheson, by God, is he on one right now? And so is Josh Anderson's fucking heating up too. Andrew Ann. It's becoming like a full circle. Like everyone who was like, they just need, like you said, like just need a little bit of space, a little bit of time, is getting it, and it's just paying off. Who was quoted? I think it was yesterday or the day before, talking about Martin St. Louis and just how impressed they are that he's got, you know, I think maybe a full year in the NHL as a coach, and he's this impactful to a team. We got the ticket, baby. It's going to take a little while, but fuck, dude. Is this fun?
Yeah, like, I think, I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's a lot we can read into, like, the way the Habs are playing right now, if you know what I mean. Like, even into – that's why I'm kind of hesitant to like, as much as I want to praise Gurionov a lot, this team is just, and it's what I was thinking too, it's so hard to project what this team is going to look like next season, because there's basically an entire roster of guys, like an entire lineup, that are injured. And We also don't know what veterans are going to return, what young guys are going to be giving opportunities, what like deals that are bound to happen in the offseason. Look, this is Kent Hughes's going to be his second summer.
I think this is going to be his biggest summer, just because of
that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, what we're seeing from the what we thought were just depth guys. I just think that he's got so much to play with now. Like, is like mid season.
I'm trying to get at is that I think he's had enough time to feel out the roster, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Whereas, like, I think this season everyone's kind of frustrated. Like, why is this guy still here? Why is he here? Well, Kent Hughes wants to know what they're worth, and things have gone sour, right, with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
This summer is going to be about healing and recovery and getting things done. And especially given the uncertainty on who the Habs draft, you know, this draft is huge for the Habs. This is going to be massive. No matter where they draft, this is going to be very, very important. That will impact a lot of the deals we see done, because the Habs draft, if you know, say the Habs draft a huge player at the like in at a certain position that exposes some of our younger guys who, you know, realistically, you have to be. I don't want a guy who could make play top 6 minutes when on another team, a top six prospect, when say there's a couple guys ahead of him, right? You deal him, you try to get another young player, you do. So there's also those deals you have to open yourself up to, and Kent Hughes will have to consider. So even young guys like Justin Barron, Jaden Struble, all these other guys who some of which we have to be signed, some of which, you know, we're just going to have to look for spots for them on the team. You may see younger guys start to get dealt too and traded for other young prospects. This isn't just going to be picks now. We're also going to start trading for prospects and kind of looking to fill in gaps on the team with younger guys, right?
Right.
Next season, I don't expect that you're going to see a lot of guys like Alex Belzile being called up. You're going to lose your Michael Pezzettas. You're going to lose your Joel Armias, your Paul Byrons. It's going to start being, you're going to have a top six that looks like a top six for sure. That includes Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Kirby Dach. You know, if and let's say we don't drop top three and get a Fantilli, Bedard, Carlson. There's going to be a Gurionov there. There's going to be a Josh Anderson or Pierre-Luc Dubois, one or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you already have those slots filled. Now you have to kind of in those lower mid top six to mid middle six to bottom six roles, you're going to start getting those young guys on defense. We already have the youth movement, but you're going to see Barron, Gouley, Harris, Jack Guy, Kovacevic are all healthy. And you're going to have to decide what happens with Matheson, who I think is guaranteed, right?
Yeah, this team is going to not touch that dude.
No, I wouldn't either. But what I'm saying is I think this team has the possibility of looking even younger next season.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a full dry erase board, like sweep.
Like absolutely.
Anything that we thought at the beginning of the season is gone.
Well, and now you, Sean Farrell, look, once his season's done, he's probably going to sign.
Right.
I don't think there's any question about it. He's done everything he can. That's another guy who I would pencil in a top six position to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be on the second line, second or third line. He's middle six, right? That's right. A position for him next season. Who else do you have? Emil Heinemann's up. He's going to get opportunities, Heinemann. Right? Harvey Pinard looks like he's going to get opportunities. This is just cutting out spaces for the veterans. Like your guys like Mike Hoffman, Jonathan Drouin, Paul Byron, if he gets healthy,
Joel Armia.
Yeah. They're gone. I really do think they're probably going to be gone, or they're going to find a way to either sit them on IR, mm-hmm. deal them, not sign them, whatever needs to happen. You're going to see, even in my prediction, my opinion, you're going to see even more of a youth movement next season. And that's very exciting.
No. So while you're kind of talking a little prospects, this is in the middle of it, but while it's fresh on my mind, Rhett Pitlick, you saw the goal the other night.
I did see the goal, yeah.
Good Lord. Is that kid fucking something?
He is so, so special. And sorry, I just looked at the time. before we move on, I want to talk about that goal. First, I think we have a message from our friends at DraftKings.
Yes, we do. As a fumble fuck. All right. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You could throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. I don't know, but if any of y'all bet on MMA this past weekend, I'm sure you made a shitload of money. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Y'all remember to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. All right, Mason, where were we, bud?
We're going to start talking about that Rhett Pitlick goal.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
Fucking some nastiness for Minnesota State, if you haven't seen it. Turned the guy five times, just ridiculous.
The closest thing to the fabled triple deke almost, just toe drag.
It's like the Mario Lemieux goal on Ray Bourque.
Yeah, dude, spun that poor kid out, just devastating, and then puts it in the back, and my cousin's like, when is this kid eligible? And I was like, we already got him. We already got him locked up, buddy. Don't worry about that. You get him off your mind. Yeah, I couldn't believe it, though. Unreal. He plays for what? The Minnesota, is that the Beavers?
No, it's the Minnesota.
Something ignorant, huh?
No, it's fuck.
Gophers, Golden Gophers. Yeah. See, pretty close. Some ignorant ass, hairy little creature. Dude, fucking phenomenal goal though. I don't know where they're at in the college March Madness for hockey.
Minnesota's really, 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 really good.
Because like, I heard the top four. And I don't remember them being in it, unfortunately. Well,
Minnesota has the fourth, fifth. I don't know. I think Matthew Nyes is top 15. Their top line is Matthew Nyes, Jimmy Snuggerud, and Logan Cooley.
Oh yeah.
Like they're a very, very solid team.
Well, fuck yeah, dude. Happy to have him. Unfortunately, I think his brother will be pushed out. Not before long, but more or less is what it is. don't know what else to say for that. But a beautiful goal and another fun thing for Habs to keep in the back pocket as a massive list of just deadly prospects we have on the way. It's funny to think that when we first started, we had, you know, we were just talking about once these guys start getting their chances and we're finally at that cusp where, you know, the guys that were of the yesteryears are all about to, you know, this is like the big exodus for them all. And we're about to see this new young fucking team come into effect. And fuck, if you're not ready, I don't know, find another team because it's about to get fucking crazy.
No, absolutely. I do want to say, though, I don't think that, like, I think Rem Pitlick has another year on this team. I don't think they let that guy go yet.
I don't think, I meant, like, by the time Rhett gets here, he might be, like, Laval or somewhere else.
I don't know. I think Pitlick had a bad year for sure, but he's also a rookie last year. And
could have easily. Well, I mean, he looked, look, right? We were praising that fucking pick last year. I just, you know, like you said, though.
42 points last year is nothing to be excused, right? Like, he's very solid.
I think you hit it. You hit it on the, you know, the nail on the head. Had a tough one this year, but really got his minutes when, you know, the team was just ass. But I mean, look, he's showing promise right now. Had a primary assist, I think, in the Colorado game. Yeah, man. Just kind of back to it though, is that it's just so fun. Like, even though we're losing, the team's offensive momentum's there. So even if we're just begging for fucking losses for Connor Bedard, they're still fun games to watch. The Florida game, my God, one of the craziest games in the world. Hilarious, though, that Florida thinks that they're going somewhere and letting us put up fucking 5 goals on them. Definitely a game the win for us didn't happen. But it looks like that Florida pick's kind of just sitting in limbo around, like, the 15 spot anyway. So it is what it is. Florida's trying to make a push, and it'll be for nothing. But ran the tankathon earlier today. Obviously, you got to refresh it as soon as you get it on. You don't go by the first one that's listed. I got Canadians first overall. Connor Bedard clicked it again to do the mock draft. We got 2. So feeling lucky today. Connor Bedard or Adam Fantilli. I think we're in a sweet spot. The gods are with us.
Yeah, no, I think the Habs chances are definitely looking better now, especially if Florida can continue to, you know, slide down the standings, stay out of a playoff position. That would be, you know, just increase our chances of drafting in the top 5. I think that's what's important. And
well, we play them one more time, March 30th.
Yes.
So we have one more chance on us to at least get a W. Go ahead.
No, I just think like it, you know, it's proving that what we've been preaching for a while. Look, don't worry about where the Habs are.
Trust the process.
They've got a tough. We said this, the last third of the season was the hardest, and we've been proven right. It's been really difficult, and
but look, it's been great games, hockey.
These games are not easy to watch. I won't lie to you, but knowing, like, when the Habs lose, there is that certain satisfaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, we lost, but we're one step closer to the golden child, the golden goose, Connor Bedard.
Yeah, Mr. Generational. But yeah, so tonight when y'all listen, you got the Tampa Bay game again. Thursday, we got Bruins. Saturday, though, big loss for us. If we can get Columbus to get a win, I think we're doing something right.
No, absolutely.
Try to knock them up a little bit. But yeah, we're balancing around 5 or 6 right now. But yeah, dude, tough schedule. It's still looking, I think after that, the end of like the last week of March is a little easy on us. Actually, the last week of March and then the rest of the schedule is pretty easy other than probably the Leafs, the Islanders, who aren't that great, and
I would argue against that, to be honest.
In what regard?
like the last March is not, I would not say easy, like Lightning, Bruins.
Oh, no. I meant like the last week of March. So not next week, not the week we're on, but I'd about say like
Sabres, Flyers, Panthers.
Yeah. Well, obviously we're going to lose.
I still think we only have a shot in one of those games, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And that's the Flyers game.
And then you go to April and it's just smooth
Carolina
in the L's department for us.
Yeah.
Carolina, Red Wings, Capitals, Leafs, Islanders, not very good, but Bruins to end it. You know, maybe they'll sit some players, but I don't think it'll make much of a difference.
No. I'm sure we'll still find a way to put up goals and still lose, like, just as gracefully as you can. But look, man, I know you got to get up out of here. Sorry, this is going to be a shorter episode, y'all. It's only because life gets in the way. But we will be back again this week because I no longer have to work like a slave. So there's that. Anyway, thank y'all so much for listening. Mason, do you have anything else to say?
No, I don't.
Awesome. Thank you guys for understanding and bearing with us. But good things are afoot for Habs Nightly. Anyway, thank y'all so much. This has been Habs Nightly. Can't wait to talk to you guys again. Give us a follow on Twitter at Habs Nightly and myself at Firebenders. Good luck, Mason, on your schooling. But we will talk to you guys again later this week. Goodbye.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.